वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 9, Chapter entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil. Sri Raja Uvacha Drishta Srutabhyam Yat Papam Janan Api Atmanohitam Karoti Bhuyo Vivasa Prayaschitam Athokatam Sri Raja Uvacha Drishta Srutabhyam Yat Papam Janan Api Atmanohitam Karoti Bhuyo Vivasa Prayaschitam Athokatam Sri Raja Uvacha Matajis, please. Sri Raja Uvacha, Parikshit Maharaj replied, Drishta, by seeing, Srutabhyam, also by hearing, from the scriptures or law books, yet, since, papam, sinful criminal action, Janan, knowing, Api, although, Atmana, of his self, Ahitam, injurious, Karoti, he acts, Bhuya, again and again, Vivasa, unable to control himself, Prayaschitam, atonement, Atho, therefore, Katam, what is the value of? Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, Maharaj Parikshit said, one who know that sinful activity is injurious, one may know that sinful activity is injurious for him, because he actually sees a criminal is punished by the government and rebuked by people in general, and because he hears from scriptures and learned scholars that one is thrown into hellish conditions in the next life for committing sinful acts. Nevertheless, in spite of such knowledge, one is forced to commit sins again and again, even after performing acts of atonement. Therefore, what is the value of such atonement? Purport. In some religious sects, a sinful man goes to a priest to confess his sinful acts and pay a fine, but then again commits the same sins and returns to confess them again. This is the practice of a professional sinner. Parikshit Maharaj's observations indicate that even 5,000 years ago, it was the practice of criminals to atone for their crimes but then commit the same crimes again, as if forced to do so. Therefore, owing to his practical experience, Parikshit Maharaj saw that the process of repeatedly sinning and atoning is pointless. Regardless of how many times he is punished, one who is attached to sense enjoyment will commit sinful activities again and again until he is trained to refrain from enjoying his senses. The word vivasa is used herein, indicating that even one who does not want to commit sinful acts will be forced to do so by habit. Parikshit Maharaj therefore considered the process of atonement to have little value for saving one from sinful acts. In the following verse, he further explains his rejection of this process. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunivadi Paschatya Destarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauru Bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Dvaite Badra, Apadra, Sakali Sama, E Bala, E Manda, Sabo Mano Dharma. And Prabhupada explains how in the material world some people consider some things good and some things bad. But as far as Krishnadas Kaviraj is concerned, there's no such thing as good and bad, it's all bad. Mano Dharma. So as long as we are absorbed in Maya, it's very hard to ascertain what's good and what's bad. It's like Jai Gauranga Prabhu was saying some time ago that in his apartments, they're advertising a barbecue, chicken barbecue, to save all the birds that are about to be, they're like disappearing from the planet. What do you call that? Huh? Extinction. So this is the kind of knowledge we have in when we're absorbed in Maya. It's also explained that yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura harav abhaktasya kuto mahaduguna mano ratena sati davato bahi. A person who's not a devotee of Krishna, he has no good qualities. Harav abhaktasya kuto mahaduguna. It's like Prabhupada and Indradumna Maharaj, they were traveling one time and they came across this immigration checkpost. And then the immigration officer was so mean to Prabhupada. He was like, pick this up, open this, put it there, like this. And Indradumna Maharaj couldn't take it anymore. So he told the officer, if you keep talking to my Guru Maharaj, who is a pure devotee, like the way you're talking, I'm going to punch your face. And this guy was like startled. He said, I thought you guys are like non-violent. He said, yeah, but you know, we can also show you our other side, you know. And this person got really alarmed. He said like, okay, you guys can go. And as they were walking away, Prabhupada looked at him and said, because they are not devotees of Krishna, they have no good qualities. And then they walked a little bit more. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, because they are not devotees, they have no good qualities. And then they walked a little bit more and Prabhupada looked him in the eye and said, do you understand? They have no good qualities. And just like hit Maharaj at the third time, that Prabhupada is saying they have no good qualities because they are not devotees. This is the position of conditioned souls. And it's also like when Mukunda Goswami, Mukunda Maharaj first met Prabhupada. He remembers how first he was in the audience and he couldn't understand what Prabhupada is saying. The only thing he could understand was Prabhupada kept saying, "You're not this body, you're not this body, you're not this body," like this. And Mukunda Maharaj thought to himself, "This poor Swami, we are all our bodies, but look like the Swami is not his body." That's the only thing he could understand. And then Prabhupada's accent, he couldn't understand much, so he was listening carefully, and then Maharaj thought, maybe he's speaking a different language. And then when he heard, Prabhupada was sometimes, you know how Prabhupada sometimes speaks in Bengali, sometimes Sanskrit, sometimes English. So Maharaj was listening carefully, oh, he's not speaking English, he's speaking something else. And then he's listening, he is speaking in English. And then he heard, he's speaking Sanskrit. So he was like listening very carefully. And then at the end, he wanted to test Prabhupada and, you know, to see what kind of guru he is. So he wanted to, Mukunda Maharaj wanted to test Prabhupada. So he asked Prabhupada, what will happen if you see some young people, young men beating up an old man on the street? What would you do? And Mukunda Maharaj said, thought, whatever he replies based on that, I will join him or not join him, like that. And Prabhupada told him basically that, I can tell you answer for this, but unless you read my books, you will not know what to do in any given situation. You will always come across circumstances, you will not know how to act. I can tell you in this situation how to act, but that's not going to help. So why don't you educate yourself instead of trying to, you know, Prabhupada can see this boy is trying to, you know, test Prabhupada like this, you know. So this is the position, and as long as we are absorbed in Maya, then sometimes we are acting sinfully, and sometimes to counteract that, we are acting in a pious way. Either way, we are bound up. Just like the example is given, if the police gives us a golden handcuff, and we're protesting, why are you arresting me, why are you arresting me? And then he says, no, no, you're lucky, you know. For somebody else, we gave him a tin handcuff. You're very fortunate, you know. What's the big deal about gold handcuff or tin handcuff? We cannot move. We are like bound. Similarly, whether we're pious or impious, we have to take birth, grow old, get sick and die. So what's the meaning of this pious or impious activities? It's just crazy. It's actually very risky actually to... Nowadays nobody even knows what is pious activities, and these words you don't even make sense to people anymore. But in the Vedic times in India, they calculate like this, you know. But it's actually very risky even to calculate and figure out what sins I've done and how I'm going to counteract with pious activities like this. The example of King Nirga is given in the Krishna book. King Nirga was so famous, so pious, he's so charitable. It's explained that as many grains of sand they are, he's given that many cows in charity. Who can imagine his, you know, pious activity? So he was so proud, he was so giving. And then one time he gave 10,000 cows to one Brahmana, and then he gave another 10,000 cows to another Brahmana. And then one cow from the herd of one Brahmana ran into the other crowd. And then this Brahmana who lost the cow, he came to the Maharaj and said, "I want my cow back. I have only 9,999. And then King Parikshit said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll give you another 100,000 cows. Huh? King Nirga. What did I say? King Nirga said, "I'll give you 100,000 cows. And the Brahmana said, "I don't want your 100,000 cows, just give my cow back." So he went to the other Brahmana who's got like 10,001 cows. He said, please give that cow back, it belongs to him. He said, no way, it's come to me and it's mine. So he said the same thing. King Nirga said the other Brahmana, I'll give you 100,000 cows, just give that one cow back. So they said, no. He said, no. So this way, both of them became so disturbed, and the Brahmana who lost the cow, he cursed him. He was like very disturbed, he was angry. And then, at the time of death, King Nirga, when he went to the abode of Yamaraj, can you imagine going to the abode of Yamaraj, being so pious? And then he looked at the balance sheet and said, whatever pious activities you've done, you're going to enjoy so much, you'll never see the end of it. Also, there's a curse that you have to pay. You have to become a lizard for that. So would you first like to become a lizard and then enjoy your, you know, results of all your pious activities? Or do you want to first enjoy all your, you know, pious activities and then you want to become a lizard? And King Nirga is calculating first, you know, just like when he's serving a feast or something, you want to get away with, like, eat the things that you don't like first and then you save the favors perhaps. King Nirga said, let me become a lizard and, you know, deal with it first and then I can enjoy later. It's amazing. So much pious activities, little miscrepancies, and then you immediately, like, you know, become a lizard. So this is the problem. This is the problem of not surrendering to Krishna and taking to other paths that's mentioned in the Vedas. So Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is a history. Not like modern history, you know, we are forced to read all the garbage that went on for the past, you know, thousands of years, and like, you know, years. All the wars and this person's bad behavior and that person's bad behavior. It's useless. You don't learn anything from it. But Srimad Bhagavatam is history full of valuable lessons chosen by liberated souls like Shukadeva Goswami. And it's meant to elevate our consciousness by reading these pastimes. We learn the valuable lessons of how to be in the material world. Recently I had a book table in Artesia, and this one girl from Mumbai, she came to my table and she was looking at the Krishna book. And she was, Krishna art book. And she's like, wow, amazing mythology. She's calling it like mythology, looking at the Krishna art book. And then she saw Krishna like killing Bakasura and, you know, showing the universes within the mouth to his mother, Yashoda. And she said, wow, amazing imagination. She's like glorifying, but she's like, I said, what do you mean imagination? This is our, you know, history. And she's like, you're kidding, you're kidding. So she's like ready to argue because she's like some kind of science major. So this is the training we're getting even in India these days. The people think it's mythology and Hindu granny stories, but this is actually history supposed to elevate us. Just like a person who's already seen a movie, he knows what the end of the movie is going to be like. Similarly, the guru, sadhu and shastra, they already seen this movie of material existence and they know what's going to happen to everyone that's come to this material world. So out of compassion, they're warning us. We may think we are so unique and we're experiencing this technology and comforts that nobody's ever experienced. Everything is so unique. But it's actually the same old thing. It's been going on since time immemorial. So out of compassion, Vaishnavas are paradukha dukhi. Those Vaishnavas for themselves, there are no problems, but they're always concerned about how to help others. It's like this example given in South India. There was a guru, and his one of his disciples approached him and said to him, Guru Maharaj, please give me sannyas. And the guru asked him, like, what qualification do you have to take sannyas? And the guru and the disciple said, my wife died recently. I didn't even, you know, shed one drop of tear. I think I'm qualified. So the guru told him, go get married, learn how to cry, then come back, I give you sannyas. Because sannyas means you're simply crying and crying and crying. Like Gaur Govinda Maharaj says, crying, crying, crying. So this is the mood of Vaishnavas. Out of compassion, they're trying to uplift us and educate us. Dharma projita kaitava atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out, just like when you clean a room, you take a broom and a shovel and sweep all the dust and throw it away. Similarly, all materially motivated concepts are kicked out from Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is no question of taking to this papa and punya like this. The devotees and Krishna, they want us to go beyond all these shackles. Krishna said, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Traigunya Bhava Arjuna. This is the mood of the devotees and Krishna. They want us to go beyond all that. And what's beyond all that is devotional service to Krishna. It's like this one devotee was taking a group of devotees on a, you know, pilgrimage, parikram. And they went to this Yamuna river. And all the devotees on the tour, they were bathing in Yamuna. And then somebody asked the guide, you know, what's the difference between Yamuna and Ganga? And the devotee replied, when you bathe in Ganga, it purifies you of all your sins. But when you bathe in Yamuna, it purifies you of both your pious activities and sins. So immediately everybody got out. So this is the mood of the Vaishnavas. So Krishna says that mam evaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite, that by you know, approaching Krishna, then Krishna is willing to help us to go beyond the shackles of this good and bad. Aham tva sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Krishna says sarva dharman parityaja. Krishna doesn't even say sarva adharman parityaja. Krishna says, sarva dharman, even what you think is religious, give it up. What's is something beyond that? Mam ekam saranam raja. Mam ekam, just unto me. So considering our situation, just like in the pastimes of Ajamil, he was actually very well trained brahmana and there was very little temptations around. But as far as we are concerned, we have no training. And there's so much maya outside. So this is the position. So we shouldn't be afraid to come in front of Krishna and beg Krishna for help. Like cry to Krishna for help. And then there is immediately help. Because Krishna wants to see that we are actually serious, because he doesn't want any nonsense entering the spiritual world. Just like a businessman. If he's advertising for some employees, he doesn't want any bumps coming to the interview. He wants qualified people. Similarly, Krishna wants to see that we are serious. And also, another point is we have come to this material world to become, to imitate Krishna, which means we wanted to take the position of Krishna as a supreme enjoyer and supreme controller. So it's not easy to give up this enjoying propensity. It's not like we can bite our tongues and say no sense gratification like this. It won't help. We actually have to apply the science. We actually have to apply the science. Just like Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam. by hearing about Krishna, we are actually humbled and purified. When we hear a Krishna book of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill and marrying 16,108 wives, killing Shishupal without shedding a drop of blood in the Rajasoya sacrifice, showing the universes within his mouth to his mother. So many pastimes. By hearing this, we understand Krishna is enjoying in every circumstance. It's no hard work for him. So just by hearing these pastimes, this disease of trying to become the enjoyers actually goes away from the heart. And we become purified, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. Just by hearing Krishna's activities and pastimes, we are actually become purified of this enjoying propensity, which is the source of all the problems we get into. That's what Parikshit Maharaj also says, Nirvirta Tarse Rupagiya Mana Bhavav Sada Chotra Mano Birama Ka Uttama Sloka Gunanu Vadat Puman Virajeta Vina Pasugna. Parikshit Maharaj said the disease that we're all going through is the disease of repeated birth and death. And the only medicine for this cycle of birth and death is the pastimes of Uttama Sloka or Krishna, to hear the pastimes. And then Parikshit Maharaj says, who other than a butcher will not take to this process? There's two kinds of butchers. One is one who butchers animals, and the other kind is the one who butchers his own self, own soul. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, Puman Virajeta Vina Pasugna. Such a beautiful process. Who will not take to such a nice process? So this, by taking to this process of devotional service, we can go beyond all these good and bad and attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like when the tsunami hit Thailand, there was a scuba diver, and he just put on his oxygen cylinder and he went inside. He dove into the ocean. When he came back up, everything was finished. Everything was wiped out by the tsunami. He couldn't believe. He was just inside for a few minutes. So when you're in the shores of the ocean, there's so many disturbances. But when we go deeper inside the ocean, then immediately he was not affected. And the same example is given, just like when you're on a flight. Sometimes like the flights, when they're taking off, they're in the clouds. And there's so much, disturbance. Very wobbly and turbulent. It's very uncomfortable. But then when the pilot gives a little bit more gas, takes off. You go beyond and then it's like smooth. You just look down on the clouds from above. Similarly, when we are approaching Krishna consciousness, to the degree we are in the shores or in the clouds, we are going to also feel all kinds of disturbances and sufferings. But when you go a little bit deeper, then we can actually cross beyond it. That's what Krishna says, Machita Sarva Durgani Mat Prasad Tarushyasi Ata Chetva Mahankaram Nasroshyasi Vinashyasi. Krishna says, if you're not conscious of me when you're doing activities, you will be lost. But if you're conscious of me, by my grace, you can cross beyond all these hurdles, the bumps that come in the road. So these are some things I wanted to talk about, and do any of the Vaishnavas have anything to share, any questions or comments we can discuss. Prema Sankirtan is not there to ask a question, so Okay, thank you all for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Favorite.